Thanks, Julie. Good morning, friends. What a great start to our worship this morning. The offertory, thank you, Paul. The choir, Phil, thank you very much for inviting us to join in that great crescendo. Beautiful spirit of worship this morning. At 10 o'clock in Parmenter, the room will be full as we gather to worship with our children. Well, there you are, Paul. Thank you. I was 10 years of age when I first sensed God's voice calling me to be a pastor one day. Who knows what God might speak in the hearts of our children as we gather with them in worship. And then in our service at 11, we have five young people we'll be receiving as ministerial candidates entering into the ordination process. Five. Thank you, Jesus. So a very special morning. Glad that you're with us this morning. After our service, if you'd like to linger in prayer or conversation, our pastors would be glad to meet with you. It's always good to be obedient in the moment when God is speaking. Does it ever feel like it takes forever for spring to arrive? Yeah. Waiting on God in the season of change is not always easy. Waiting on God. What's the most important prayer in your life right now? Where you are most desperate, most in need, most longing for God to show up and answer that prayer. Sometimes in that season of change, in that season of waiting, in the middle of the wanting and the waiting, I am tempted to take matters into my own hands. Change is a season. Change is a season allowed by our God of unfailing love to take us to a place of deeper trust. Change is a season allowed by our God of unfailing love to take us to a place of deeper trust. This morning, we go all the way back to Joshua, a wonderful character in the Old Testament story of God's people. I can't wait to unpack this story with you, but let me say a prayer as we launch into it. Father, thank you for your unfailing love, for what you're already doing in this service, the hour to follow with our children, another hour of worship at 11, those entering into the ministry track for preparation for ordination. But Lord, in this moment, would you slow it down? Allow us to take in breaths of your spirit, and may your word come alive in our hearts and minds. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 5. Open your Bibles if you would. Follow with me on the screen. Use the app on your phone. It's all God's word. Joshua chapter 5. We'll start at verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today, March 31st, in the year of our Lord 2019, or in his day, today, God looked at Joshua and said, I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt, so that place has been called Gilgal to this day. Who was Joshua? Moses, let's connect him to Moses. One degree of separation from Moses. Moses was the great liberator of God's people. And Joshua was the young man Moses was mentoring. Remember the story. Moses climbed the mountain where he received the two tablets and the Ten Commandments from God. Joshua was with him. Moses went into their place of worship, their church, their tabernacle, this beautiful tent, and God's presence filled the room like a consuming cloud. Joshua was with him. The book says that God spoke to Moses face to face as one friend speaks to another, and Joshua was there watching it happen. And when Moses, the great battle commander, the liberator of God's people, as he watched from the summit, it was Joshua that led God's people into battle. And then when Moses died, Joshua was there ready to lead God's people. A quick application. Who are we selecting to mentor us? Ellen and I, as you've heard me say, we were married at 18, parents at 20. In my 20s, as a young husband and father, I needed help. I identified three men in our church. I was the young pastor of this church. I identified three men because I respected the way they respected their wives. And I said, I need you as my friends. Who are we selecting as our mentors? Regardless of our age, we can identify mentors that are older than us and younger than us. And who are we mentoring? Who are we pouring our lives into, helping them to learn more of what it means to look, live, and love like Jesus? Who are we pouring our lives into as we open our hearts and our homes? Joshua was mentored by Moses. Which leads us to another question. Why was God now speaking to Joshua? Yes, Moses was the great liberator of God's people. Moses led God's people out of slavery through the wilderness to the land that God promised them, the promised land, but Moses stopped there. Moses did not enter into the promised land. He led them up to the border. He looked across and he saw the promised land, but Moses never entered. The mantle of leadership was passed to Joshua, and it was Joshua who would lead God's people into the land that God promised and into the blessing God promised, but there was a challenge. The land promised, the promised land of blessing, it was occupied by the enemies of God's people. There was no red carpet and welcome mat awaiting them. God's people had to fight for the fulfillment of God's promise. God's people had to fight for the fulfillment of God's promise. You know, there's another application there for us that's so real today. Sometimes God's promises are fulfilled by God himself, and sometimes God makes a promise, but he needs, expects, waits for us to fight for the fulfillment of his promise to us. Farmers. Farmers understand the seasons. Farmers understand the promise of God that in the fall there will be a harvest, but they don't sit in a chaise lounge all summer, do they? Long weeks of hard labor for the fulfillment of that promise. Sometimes we have to fight for the fulfillment of God's promise. A couple will gather at the altar to be married, and there are prayers of blessing over this couple as they stand before God and the church, family, and friends. There is a blessing that's prayed over that couple as they unite as one in marriage, but they have to go and fight for a strong marriage. Many of you as parents, grandparents, godparents, have watched loved ones brought to the front, baptized or dedicated to the Lord. And in that moment, there are prayers of blessing that are offered over them, but it is hard work to be a strong family. Parenting is hard work. We have to fight for the fulfillment of that blessing. Friendships, there are people that the God, our God of unfailing love, brings into our lives as gifts, people that he entrusts to us to be friends that change our lives and bless our lives, but we have to fight for strong relationships in the world today. Sometimes there are promises of blessing made by our God of unfailing love, but he wants us, needs us, waits for us to fight for the fulfillment of those blessings. Joshua is getting God's people ready to enter both the land God promised and the blessing God promised. And as Joshua is faithful and obedient, one step at a time, God is offering more of himself to Joshua and his people. Another application, my friends, this story is so full of nuggets for us to unpack. God has an overflowing blessing for each one of us. God has an overflowing blessing for all of us, but he pours it out. He unfolds it one step at a time. One forward step of faithful obedience, and God gives us more blessing. There are some things he gives us all at once, and there are other blessings that come to us with every step of obedience. Blessings unfolding. God doesn't always roll it all out at once, but he rolls it out with each faithful and obedient step forward that we take. And what exactly was God saying to Joshua? He said, "Today, I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt." What did that mean for Joshua, and what does that mean for us this morning? What was the shame that God was referring to? In the King James Version, it uses the word reproach. That's a heavy word. If we go back to the original language, This word shame or reproach, it speaks of the things in our past that continue to taunt us. You look in the mirror, and there are memories that taunt us. The things in our past that we're truly embarrassed by, some done to us, and some we did to ourselves. But here, as God is speaking to Joshua, it's not only a shame, but the place of his shame. The shame of your slavery in Egypt. What did Egypt represent to God's people? They were desperate. There was a famine. There was no food in their land. They were starving. So they had to humble themselves and go to their enemy and ask for food. But their enemy was only gracious for a season, and their enemy soon took advantage of their desperation and forced them into slavery. And God is saying, today, I have rolled away the shame and the place of your shame. Some of us entered this morning carrying the baggage of shame behind us. Nobody saw it, but we felt it. The things in our past that still come and taunt us from time to time. When we look in the mirror, when we open the Word, and we want to hear God's voice, and the enemy gets in the way with the things of the past, and he taunts us with them. The things where we say, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I ended up there. And Pastor Chris, in your prayer, you asked if we could be a means of grace as a church, as God's people, can we be a means of grace for our world today? Can we as the people of God help to relieve some of the shame and guilt in our world? There's an author I love to read every week. He writes what he calls the Drama Review, Alan Godwin. This week, his blog was about our American culture of contempt. Ready or not, here we go, another political season winding up. And Alan Godwin says that this culture of contempt in our society today, so prevalent in politics, takes the very basic approach that says, I'm right and you're stupid. He quoted some research that said 1 in 6 Americans have stopped talking to family members or close friends over politics. Can we as the people of God be a means of grace in our world again to release some of the shame and guilt? What did it mean that God said, I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt, rolled away? It's symbolic as in ancient days when a gravestone was rolled away so that one who was dead and buried could live again. Symbolically, like washing a car after a hard winter full of snow and salt so that the grit and the grime is washed away and the beauty is restored. The shame of their past rolled away. The shame of their past washed away. Is this a foreshadowing of that Easter morning when the tomb was rolled away and Jesus rose from the grave? Is this a foreshadowing of that promise that our sins are washed away by the love of Jesus? Is this a foreshadowing of Psalm 32 that we read this morning? Our sins are forgiven and covered so that our God of unfailing love no longer sees them. The Lord who no longer counts our past against us. The God of unfailing love who looks at us just as if we had never sinned. God doesn't look at us in the same way. And we're invited to no longer look at ourselves in the same way. The old life and our old ways are gone. Jesus makes us into new people as we learn to look, live, and love like Jesus. And this is a promise that God not only spoke to Joshua for his people there, but a promise that is still being spoken into the hearts of his church today. For Joshua and God's people as they entered the promised land many years ago. And as we enter into the promises of this new week, God's voice is still speaking truth to us. Words of love and hope. He's saying, I've rolled away all the shame and the guilt. You'll never see it again. I have rolled it away. I've washed it away so that it never stains your life again. I have rolled away your shame. I have washed away the place of your shame so that neither can be used by the enemy to taunt you ever again. Neither can be used by the enemy to discourage you. Nothing can be used from your past to hold you back in any way. And the place where God made this promise to Joshua and his people, they changed the name of that location. They named it Gilgal, which simply means rolled away. When the enemy sneaks up to cause discouragement and doubt, tell him you have a new address. You now live in a place of refuge called rolled away. And whatever used to cause you shame and guilt no longer lives at that address. And when the enemy shows up and sneaks up and tries to send guilt and shame your way, simply put, return to sender, because you no longer live there. You now live in a place called rolled away. So when we wake up in the morning, our address, our physical address, will still be the same. There will still be a measure of the heartache of our current circumstances. We may still be caught in the middle of our wanting and our waiting, but symbolically, our address has been changed to Gilgal, rolled away. And whatever used to cause us shame and guilt no longer lives at that address. And when the enemy sends guilt and shame our way, we send it back, return to sender, because we live in the spirit of a place called Gilgal. It's been rolled away. We come to verse 10. While the Israelites, the name for God's people, while the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated. They celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. While they camped, they celebrated. Their circumstances had not yet changed. They were still in the same place. They were still facing the same challenges. But as they camped in the same place, facing the same challenges, they celebrated. They were still on the outside looking in at the promised land. The promised blessing was still in the hands of those who thought of them as enemies. No red carpet and no welcome mat awaiting them. All they had was the future blessing that promised more hardship on the way to fulfillment. But as they camped, they started to celebrate. What were they celebrating? It was called the Passover. It was a religious remembrance of a time when God passed over their homes. While others were experiencing death in their homes, God passed over the homes of his people. They were spared, and God told them to remember that night when he passed over their homes, and he told them to remember it with what became a Passover feast or celebration. And what was this Passover celebration all about? Families and friends would share a meal, and they would remember all that our God of unfailing love has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do. They would share a meal together and remember and celebrate. Some of you have seen God show up and do what only God can do. Don't forget the value of celebrating that with your children and your children's children. Make sure they know when they no longer hear our voices. Make sure they know the time when God showed up and made a difference in our story. Make it a moment of family celebration. Make sure they know the stories of when God showed up. The Passover celebration, it was a time when they simplified their meals to something more easily prepared, when they simplified life for a few moments to remind themselves to live in a posture of ready obedience as they held on to the renewal of God's promise and his blessing, his presence. But remember, they're still facing the same difficult challenge, but they chose to celebrate. What did they celebrate? All that God had done, all that God was doing, all that he will do. You know, you'll wake up in the morning and the circumstances, the burdens will still be there. You'll look at the street address on the front of your home, your apartment, it'll still be the same, but everything can be different when we start celebrating a God who loves us so much. A God who wants us to celebrate life with family and friends, to celebrate his promise. And when the enemy shows up that taunt us with the things of the past, we just hit return to sender. We hit delete. It's gone. It's been rolled away. God wants us to start celebrating. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And every time we count our blessings, we take away the power of Satan's lies. And it serves to remind us to live in a posture of ready obedience. And it brings us to verses 11 and 12. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. No more manna. No manna appeared on the day they first ate crops. They ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites, God's people, ate from the crops of Canaan the very next day. The very next day, they didn't say, let's think about it. Let's put together a committee. Let's have a vote. Let's study it. The next day, they were ready. They were all in. The benefits of living in the moment with our God of unfailing love. The benefits of keeping in step with the Spirit of God. The benefits of immediate obedience. It opened for them a new season. God had been bringing his people food every morning. There wasn't enough in the wilderness to feed all of them, so God provided these thin-like wafers, this bread-like wafer called manna. They found it on the ground every morning. They took what they needed. There was always enough, but now the manna was gone, and our world has never seen it again since then. That morning, it stopped. God was no longer feeding them in the same way. God's extraordinary provision for them was no longer there, and God wanted them to learn to live off the blessing of the land that he had just provided for them in the ordinary ways of life. A simple, profound lesson, my friends, is that we shouldn't expect God to do the extraordinary when he's making a way for us in the ordinary things of life. What's God saying to us this morning? I read this week that our destiny is determined by our willingness to trust in the season of change. Our destiny is determined by our willingness to trust God in a season of change. Let me invite the worship team back, those who'll be closing the service as we pray. What's the most important prayer in your life right now? Where you're the most desperate, most in need, most longing God to show up and answer that prayer. While you're waiting, while you're camped out waiting for God, let's begin to celebrate a God of unfailing love who will fulfill his promises. He may invite us to work hard to fight for the fulfillment of his promises, but he says he will do it. Let's pray. Father, help us now. Help us as your church to be a means of grace in our world. Help us in these seasons of change to approach life and its many challenges with a spirit of trust. Give us strength to fight for the fulfillment of every promise you have made for us, our hearts, our homes, your church, and this world, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.